Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, say it's 98.9 The Buzz and Spazano and Sandy. How are you this morning? Let's get straight to Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst. The Jill on Money radio show podcast. Hello, Jill. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
It's great. How about yourself?
Guess Sweet and Sour Day on this 18th anniversary of the tragedy in New York, 9/11. And of course, the Pentagon in Pennsylvania, too. And I'm sure you were right there, weren't you?
You know what? I was living in New England at the time.
Oh, really?
And oddly, it was just awful in so many ways to be apart from it. But, you know, my first job on Wall Street, I worked in four World Trade Center.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So that was one of the lower buildings. That's where the Commodities Exchange was. And it was a very strange day for me being away. But in some respects, it was also just like agonizing because you just couldn't find people and talk to people. So that was like the scary part. And, you know, then you learn about all the people you knew and all the people who worked at various firms. And it was just an awful day. And I'm very... I feel a little bit like glad or appreciative that we continue to honor those who did not survive, but also those who did survive. A lot of stories here in the city about people who just, you know, 18 years later are just still so shaken by that day.
Wow. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. God, yeah. It's funny. One of my relatives worked in like the high floors, and that day she took her kid to the doctor. And lost everybody in her office.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
just horrible.
Amazing.
I know. God, anyway.
So
well,
here
I just
we are.
I just say I'm sorry for everyone who's experiencing those feelings. We don't want to forget you, but we do move on, and that's always a weird thing also, right? The moving on.
Yeah, right? Mm. The new normal. Mm-hmm. So say you take this job and shove it, and you want to move your career, and we were talking yesterday about...
yesterday was really interesting in our generations, and you can hear the conversation on the freeradio.com app or wherever you listen to podcasts, but in Generations yesterday, we brought up the statement, a good boss is more important than a good job. And it was very fascinating to hear, based on everyone's age, what they felt about if they agreed with that statement or not. Mm. And you, I know, on your blog, JillOnMoney.com, you touched on this, the whole job career shift.
Yeah, because a lot of times people will call the radio show or the podcast and start out with like, I have two job offers. What should I do? Or I'm thinking about getting into, doing something really different. And how should I prepare for that? And which, by the way, is fantastic, but, you know, to actually say, you know, I'm going to be thoughtful about it. But, you know, people value different things also at different points in their careers. So, you know, for example, I would think that early on in my life, if I look back, I thought like, oh, it's all about money.
Yeah.
Now for me, it's about control. Like, do I control my time? Mm. And so all of us go through different phases of those shifts. And, you know, it is a tight labor market, but you may be surprised to find out that something you have that you didn't quite value before is really important when you go out to start that job search.
Ah, yeah. Like we have a new baby. And
I've heard.
Time. I know, right. Time is more valuable than anything right now.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But you know, and this is probably, you get probably a lot of people asking you about this. When, as a mom, typically it's the mom who leaves the workforce just for a little bit to raise the kid. Getting back into it, that's hard. Mm-hmm. What should we know when you, or even those who are graduating college, you know, what do you need to know nowadays if you want to get a job?
Well, I think what you need to know is it is really a different landscape. You have got to be prepared. So one of the things that you have to know is that you don't just do like half-assed internet research. Mm-hmm. You really dive deep to find out what are the opportunities, within your current or your desired field. And so I remember we interviewed this woman on CBS This Morning, and she said, oh, I wish I had just conducted some research like as I was graduating college to realize that being a museum docent is like the hardest job in the world, you know, like a museum director, and that like why I didn't think to myself that like, gosh, I should really be doing something very different. Okay, so research, very deep dive research. Good. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, the resume cover letter thing, it still actually matters. Please, I don't know how many times you guys get resumes. I get a lot of resumes. Mm-hmm. You get like this 4-page resume from a 26-year-old. I want to blow my brains out. I really do. Like your life is not that interesting.
You want a one sheet, right?
I want one sheet and I want it to be succinct and I want you to tell me what's going on in your life. And please, no typos. You've got like annoying people like me mm-hmm. who read these, like old-fashioned, old farts like me actually care about typos.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. Someone showed, his resume, and it was like a pie chart. And on that pie chart, he divided his time. Like, how much time I don't know, I excel at work or, I don't know. It was like a pie chart. Oh, no, you don't like that. No. Okay.
What do you mean? Like, I don't care how you spend your time. I really don't. Are you kidding me?
You don't always get the best advice on LinkedIn. Okay.
So anyway, speaking of LinkedIn, you do have to update your online presence. This is especially important for my cohorts mm-hmm. who have a silly LinkedIn profile. Like, you really have to sort of clean things up. For the younger kids out there, mm-hmm. clean up those social profiles.
Right.
Okay? You want network worthy. That may mean that you set your privacy settings, make sure that everything is private, and, you know, start talking to people. And, you know, I think that something that's become quite obvious is that the younger people who are used to communicating via text mm-hmm. and electronically have a harder time with one-on-one verbal meetings.
Yeah.
And so you want to practice. So, you know, look at the three of us. All we do, we get paid to talk.
Sure.
So obviously we're good talkers. That said, a lot of people need help having these kinds of conversations. And practice with your friends. Practice with your, you know, I think the best, if you're young, get one of your parents' friends to talk to you. Because your parents are going to just be so annoying. They're going to be like, no, you wouldn't say that.
Yeah, right. You need a neutral ground, right?
Yeah. So those are like the basics. But I really think it's important. If you have a job right now and you're like, oh, I want to, like, I'm underpaid or I'm this, I'm that. I think it's really important to figure out why you are leaving. Because as you said, Sandy, like, you know, if you're – let's say you're someone who's back into the workforce after taking a hiatus to raise kids. And you go back in, you've got a job, and you sort of feel like, oh, this stinks. Like, I should be getting paid more. But you have a ton of flexibility. You don't have a boss who busts you every time you have to do something with the kid or something. Or even with an aging parent. That may be quite valuable to you over time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
How do you tackle the pay part of it?
I'll tell you something. This, by the way, you know, research will tell us that women are terrible at this.
Yeah.
We are very bad at asking for raises. One study found, this is kind of fascinating, that mid-level and upper-level women managers fight for raises for the people who work for them more than they fight for their own raises.
Oh, wow.
So what isn't that interesting? So they're fine. If I work for Sandy, what that really tells me is Sandy will go to her boss and say, Jill needs a raise. But when it comes to Sandy's own compensation, she's a little shyer about it.
That's incredible.
So now that said, you know, it's in New York it is. This is true in New York. But in a lot of states and municipalities, it's illegal for companies to ask about your current or your previous salary. And most big companies have stopped doing that. But, you know, a lot of there's a side angle to it, right? So there is a really interesting way they can kind of wrangle the information out of you. You never want to put the number out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really don't. So what you say is, what's the range? You do your research first. You find out what the range is for the job. And, you know, do you fall on the upper or the lower end of the range? You figure that out. But I think what's really kind of cool is that there's been research. Columbia Business School did this. Harvard Business School did this. That if you're asked, what you do is you turn the question back to the interviewer.
So when they say, how much are you looking at that you want to make?
Yeah, you say, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard that people like me typically earn $70,000 to $80,000. Now, what you have to know in that case is what the real range is. So what using a range is good. You want to anchor to the higher end of the range, meaning if you found out that the average on-air host earns $60,000 to $70,000, mm-hmm. right? You say to the bosses at the Buzz, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard that people like me typically earn $70,000 to $75,000.
Right, and notch it up a
and
little
you,
bit.
Now they're height, they're psyched. They're like, well, 70. I can't pay 75, but I could pay 70, even though that's the upper end. But they emotionally will anchor to the lower end of your range. You want to have that be the upper end of the
wow, brilliant.
Range.
You know, one final thing too, because you brought up how women tend to be a little bit not as good at this. I heard, and tell me if you've seen this too, where women, we won't even apply for a job unless we 110% wholeheartedly believe we fill all the criteria within that job.
Yeah, this is very funny because I'll tell you what, one time my girlfriend says to me, like, so this job is open, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, you could do that job. She goes, I'm not qualified for that. Then the guy who got the job was far less qualified than she.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I guess he thinks he's qualified. So what do you learn about that? Sometimes you do have to take a risk. And there are some companies that actually really promote this. At Google, for example, let's say you do your job. You're awesome at it. You get paid. But you will not get a raise unless you choose to go do a totally different job and try to master that one.
Oh.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I'm happy in my comfort zone. Let me do my job.
I know, right?
I plan to stay here for as long as they'll have me.
That's still millennial format, though. Like, they'll hop jobs every 2 years, and it'll be guaranteed more money every time they hop.
Yeah, I think that the reality is that job hopping is way more prevalent now, but that some of us who grew up in a different era have a harder time with that.
Yes, I understand that. I'm out of time. Sorry.
Jill, you're awesome.
You're the best.
Yeah, you know, it's you're like a great relationship. You say hang around for, like, 20 minutes, you just think it's only been a second.
Oh, that's so nice. Aww. And I with you guys.
Jill Schlesinger. Check her out on Jill on Money radio show or her blog at jillonmoney.com. You will also get her book. If you haven't yet, you really should.
You should.
It's called Dumb Things Smart People Do With Their Money, and it's awesome. Breaks it down. Thank you, sister.
Take care.
Okay, bye. 99 to Buzz. Spazana and Sandy.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!